The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said to Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I have a question for you. This is a participation question, okay? Anybody need a little peace right now? Okay, I think we're in agreement with that. So, what is peace, really? Well, I actually have an old Webster's Dictionary. Yeah, it's one of those printed ones, you know. Instead of Wikipedia, I thought I'd go to an old Webster Dictionary. And it came up with four different possibilities of the definition of peace. First is a state of tranquility or quiet. Can you feel it? Yeah. The second was freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. We could use some of that. My third, probably my favorite one, is harmony in personal relationships. Wouldn't that be nice? The fourth one is a state of period of mutual concord between governments. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. So the word peace means tranquility, quiet thoughts, harmony, and mutual concord. All good things. Peace is also a word that Jesus uses frequently in his ministry. Peace is used over 90 times in the New Testament and over 400 times all through the Bible. How do I know this, you may ask? Well, of course, Google AI told me. But then I did verify it a bit with biblical resources. In the gospel reading from John, Jesus is running out of time to be physically with his disciples here on earth. He is heading to the cross, and Jesus knows that not only what lies ahead for him, but the struggles his disciples will have when he is gone. Jesus does not want his disciples to be afraid of what lies ahead for them. So he gives them his peace. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." So what is so special about Jesus' peace? Well, first, from what Jesus said, it's not peace of the world, because the next line is, "I do not give you as the world gives," meaning peace. He's not giving us the peace that the world gives. So that leads me to another question. What kind of peace does the world give? Well, I dare to say, not much. But in fact, many in the world seek peace probably in all the wrong places, maybe drugs or alcohol or pleasure. It seems that every time we see in the news, we hear something about quests for peace in the Middle East or in the Ukraine and other parts of the world. It's being sought everywhere, but rarely found. The world offers peace in terms of achievement and pleasure and possessions and prestige and positions and power and wealth. For those of us living in the United States, it's sometimes called the American dream, right? But too often, that dream is shattered by reality. And then there's the claim by insurance companies and financial institutions to give us a peace of mind, right? It's a very small peace. The underlying problem with the world's peace is it's not lasting. Jesus disagreed with the world's method of obtaining peace. He even says that the world cannot provide real peace. Nothing in the world offers assurance to us of lasting peace. Here's how the world thinks peace can be achieved. The world believes if we could eliminate war, that peace would prevail. But we know from history, more wars follow. The world thinks if we eliminate poverty, that everyone had enough, that peace would prevail. But even Jesus reminds us that we will always have the poor. The world thinks if we eliminate suffering, peace would prevail. Without suffering, we could have peace. We could probably think of some people in our lives that have great material wealth and power, and yet lack that peace in their lives. But I want to tell you that lasting peace isn't found in the absence of anything. Though eliminating war and poverty and suffering is all good things that we should strive for, in this world, lasting peace is only found in the presence of someone. And that someone is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Our good news today in the midst of wars and poverty and suffering or conflicts is this. Lasting and eternal peace comes through Jesus. Jesus stands with us in all that the world can throw at us. Jesus tells us he will never leave us or forsake us. And that should comfort us in this truth. The Apostle Paul says it this way in some of his letters to the churches, to the Philippians. He says, the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. To the Thessalonian church, he says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. We find ourselves in times of trouble. Jesus' peace will overcome our fear. Jesus continues in John's gospel and says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear is a natural result of trouble and strife in our lives. We can become fearful when unsettling events happen and strike us. It's only natural to be afraid. And I believe that Jesus, knowing that what was coming soon for his disciples and for all of us, was trying to instill peace for us. Jesus knew that after his death on the cross, his disciples would face great turmoil and fear. The only way to overcome that fear was to partake in his peace. Now, I know that some of you are thinking, Mother Anita, how can I be sure that staying connected to Jesus will bring me lasting peace? Well, the only way I can think of doing that, and what the diocese is encouraging us to do, is to share our own stories. Now, I was going to ask for a volunteer from one of you to come up here and like share your testimony, but I figured that would be panic and sheer fear for most of you. So I think maybe it would be better if maybe I shared one of my peace stories with you, since I had a little bit more time to think about it. I remember the day very well when I found true lasting peace in Jesus. Wasn't the first time and it wasn't the last time, but it's one that stands out in my mind. And it happened over 25 years ago when my oldest son, Andrew, was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes, sometimes called type 1 diabetes. He was 13 years old at the time. I took him to the doctor thinking he had the bad case of the flu over Christmas break. What a bad time to have the flu, you know, when you're off school. And we had been to the doctor, his doctor, a month before for some other reasons that Andrew was having problems. And when we came in with flu symptoms, the doctor and noticed that Andrew had dropped significant weight in a month, he decided to test Andrew's blood sugar. Now, if you have any kind of medical background, you know that the normal range for blood sugar is between 70 and 120. It's about normal for most people. Andrew's was over 750. He was in ketosis, for those that have medical backgrounds. He was not in good shape. The doctor instructed me to take Andrew to Children's Medical Center in Dallas immediately, because we lived in a suburb of Dallas. Now, I knew about diabetes because my husband's mom had died of complications from her diabetes just a year or earlier at the early age of 72. The closer I get to that age, it seems very, very young. And I felt like the rug had been pulled out from underneath me. Yet I didn't want my son to see how scared and helpless I felt. Children's Medical Center was 25 miles away from his doctor's office, nearly in downtown Dallas. And remember, this is 25 years ago. I didn't drive in downtown Dallas. Most of you know that I have a horrible sense of direction. And 25 years ago, I had no GPS on my car and no GPS on my cell phone. I was losing control and in a panic. And so I did the only thing I could think to do in that situation, and I prayed. I prayed silently, not to freak out my son too much, that God would give me peace and calm in the situation. And then I prayed to the Holy Spirit that God's GPS would guide me to the Children's Medical Center. I had a few directions from the doctor, but not enough to get me there. I remember I prayed the whole time I was driving. I felt a calm during that drive to Children's Medical Center. And the next thing I remember was pulling into Children's Medical Center into the valet parking. I knew it was God that got us there safely. By the time we got to the hospital, Andrew was so weak, we had to wheel him in a wheelchair. They admitted him to the emergency right away, and he spent 8 hours in emergency and 5 days in the hospital over Christmas. And I stayed with him in the hospital all those 5 days. As hard as all that situation was, I had God's peace to get me through it, because my son needed to see God's peace through me. He didn't need a hysterical mom and that couldn't stop crying. The Prince of Peace was with us. For me, God's peace was the only place to find true peace in that situation. I knew Jesus' peace was also with my son, too. Because 2 months after his diagnosis, Andrew purchased a little plaque. We went shopping one day for his room. It said, "When God closes a door, he opens a window." My son never complained about having his diabetes at all. And he was very in, as most 13-year-olds back 25 years ago, he was a Knights Templar fanatic. He was into knights and dragons and all this stuff. And his proclaimed self-nickname was the Diabetic Knight. Yeah. And he even had a website for that. He did all kinds of stuff. He became known as the Diabetic Knight. God gave Andrew peace, as only God can do when situations in this world don't give us peace. Jesus knew his disciples would need his peace, especially after his death on the cross. They would be persecuted from all sides. The Jewish religious leaders would be looking for Jesus' followers, and they would seek refuge behind closed and locked doors. Can you imagine the emotions they must have been dealing with, fearing for their lives? In spite of all this, Jesus appears to them after his resurrection behind closed and locked doors, and he says, the first thing he says to them, "Peace be with you." Needless to say, they were startled and a bit frightened, thinking that maybe it was a ghost. But Jesus had no words of rebuke, no words of condemnation, no attitude of anger or resentment, only words of peace and love. Jesus spoke words of comfort, and he asked them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. I am myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And then he did something very peaceful. He sat down and had a meal with them. Sometimes at the end of the service, I say this blessing to all of you is, "The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You heard me say it earlier, and it's in the letter to the Philippians. This is the peace that we all must seek in our lives, knowing God is in charge of everything, of this world, of politics, everything that is coming after us. God can give us peace. And that should be comforting to all of us. I want you to hear this message today. True peace doesn't come from the world. It comes as a gift from God. God's true peace will overcome any fear that we have. God's true peace will sustain us in any situation we find ourselves in. When you need peace in your life, and we all need peace, remember Jesus' words today. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." Amen.